ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Nightlife. News breakdown.
Time for Nightlife News Breakdown. While many Australians had their eye on the Melbourne Cup around 3 p.m. this afternoon, down at the Reserve Bank, economists and financial folk were more focused on the RBA's governor and what she had to say about inflation and the outlook for interest rates. The decision was, as I'm sure you know by now, to leave the cash rate unchanged at 3.6%. Reserve Bank Governor Michelle Bullock highlighted the need to keep inflation under control after a spike in the CPI annual rate of inflation was announced last week.
We've already had three interest rate cuts. I know that mortgage holders always want more, but it's also important that we make sure that we keep inflation under control, because ultimately that's also what impacts people's living standards. So it's really important we get that right too.
Well, one of those economic types not watching the horse race, I'm sure, but focused on financial concerns, was financial journalist and commentator Michael Pascoe from Michael West Media, author of The Summertime of Our Dreams, and he joins us this evening. Michael, good evening to you. Welcome back to Nightlife.
Evening, Phil. Pleasure to be here.
Yes, well, not exactly the rates that stopped the nation, was it? But certainly plenty of attention given to the RBA and its decisions, but perhaps zero surprise in the RBA keeping its cash rate steady at the Melbourne Cup meeting after the jump in September quarter inflation.
Absolutely no surprise in no change in the rate. But I think there was a surprise in the tone of the Reserve Bank about that surprise jump in the inflation rate for the September quarter. You know, that before that, for those figures came out, Governor Michelle Bullock said a rise of 0.9% would be a material miss, meaning changes in the wind, folks. Well, of course, it came in with a rise of 1.0% on the trim mean, and that had some economists saying, oh, look, maybe the next move is going to be up. It really got the monetary hawk stirred. But the tone from the Reserve Bank today, both the governor and the assistant governor of economics and the statement, is that a lot of that big September quarter jump was a one-off. There were things that they expect not to repeat, particularly in the area of international travel, council rates and fuel. And they were prepared to think a little carefully about that, and they spelled it out. That 1% lump is going to stay in the annual inflation figure until the September quarter washes out in a year's time, at which stage they're actually reasonably confident or somewhat hopeful that inflation will fall back into the band, that it'll drop from 3.2% down to 2.6% for the trim mean that they would be comfortable about. So it was a case, the metaphor I'm using is that you can forget about the usual RBA aviary fight between hawks and doves. I think the penguins are back in town, the emperor penguins who just sit pat right through the Antarctic winter in the unending night guarding the egg. And Reserve Bankers, They love sitting pat, because if they're not moving rates, it kind of says, well, we're doing a really good job. We've got stable rates, stable economy. And I think there was that tone there. A couple of particular quotes from the governor's press conference. We are confident inflation is going to come down. That's not someone turning hawkish. And another quote, we're at the right spot we need to be at the moment. Now, she's very careful not to give guidance, but she is saying, look, that was a big shock, definitely, but we think most of it's going to wash out. There were two areas that were of ongoing concern. One is dwelling costs, new housing and rent, and the other market services, prices in the service economy, doctors, vets, cafes, restaurants, etc.
Yep,
and they're a concern.
Yes, that's right. There was, she's seen a couple of weeks ago, at least in her public remarks, to be concerned about things. But as you say, that she seemed, Michelle Bullock seemed very calm today.
We can respond where the risks arise. So if the risks turn out to be on the downside, which some people have suggested on the employment side, we're able to respond. Likewise, if the risks are on the upside, we're able to respond. But I think At the moment, we think we're where we need to be.
All righty. Are the Liberals where they need to be, Michael? The politics and the coalition, of course, seems a daily event at the moment. The coalition had its first joint party room meeting since the Nationals announced they'd dumped their commitment to net zero by 2050. There's a lot of talk about the Nationals' pressure forcing opposition leader Susan Lee's hand, and that the Libs are now shifting towards dumping the party's net zero commitment. This is despite moderates raising concerns. There's also considerable concern in those moderate ranks. For example, Liberal Senator Jane Hume says it's profoundly important for her party to represent more than just rural Australia.
It's also profoundly important, though, for Liberals to represent all Australians, not just a sectional interest, not just regional and rural Australia. And that's exactly what the Liberal Party intends to do.
Yes, well, she did make a remark about missing good coffee in the regions not so long ago. Liberal Senator Andrew Bragg's also speaking out. He pointed out that the national interest may not parallel the interests of the Nationals. He said Australia would be a pariah state if it abandoned the Paris Agreement and the commitment to net zero, and is calling for his party to stick with the target.
I don't see how we can walk away from our commitment to reduce emissions. I mean, virtually every country is in the Paris Agreement. Virtually every country has committed to net zero emissions. I mean, we would be a pariah state.
How's it going to land here, Michael? Do you think the moderates are going to be able to stand up and be counted here? And how much of a test is this of Susan Lee's political mettle? Or are they going to come up with a concoction which appears to support all sides here?
Look, it would be a rare thing for the moderates to stand up and go hard. It's the nature of moderates to be moderate. It was an observation that Malcolm Turnbull made back when he was having a lot of trouble, that there are bomb throwers who are not moderate. He was particularly talking about Craig Kelly at the time, and if he didn't get into Craig Kelly, he was prepared to blow the place up, whereas the moderates have never been prepared to blow the place up, so to speak, to get what they want. On the other hand, this time their backs really are to the wall. I'm not the biggest fan of Jane Hume, but she's, of course, absolutely right. You can't win government just representing regional of rural Australia. Mm-hmm. You have to win in the cities. And so if the moderates aren't prepared to be prepared to blow the place up on this, they haven't got a future. So it is a desperation time for them. To walk away and surrender. The last thing the moderates won was actually a bit of commitment on climate back when Morrison was Prime Minister.
Yeah, and then there was Barnaby Joyce, of course. He was out again trying to drag attention to himself over net zero, and he's claiming credit for the coalition moving close to fully dropping or dramatically altering its net zero pledge. Have a listen to this.
I'm fighting this battle, and by gosh, this is giving me enemies, big ones, but I'll just continue doing that. I've been incredibly blessed with the career I've had in New England. I've tried my very best to serve the people of New England and the Upper Hunter, and I hope that this last foray is an example of the horrible, caustic character, which is myself, but I try to get things done.
Yeah, it's not exactly a ringing endorsement of Susan Lee. She does have a lot of enemies, it would appear. Do you think she's going to survive? I mean, there are talks, there's spies, of course, Canberra being Canberra, and the Parliament meeting, of course, there were spies out everywhere, and apparently Angus Taylor was having lunch with supporters down at the Kingston foreshore. I have no idea what they would be talking about, Michael, but can she survive, Susan Lee, do you think?
Look, history says she can't, but history is always there to be changed. The question is who would want to be leader at the moment? Yep, you do get a nice pay rise. Never forget there is money involved in being officially leader of the opposition, and there's obviously ego involved. But in terms of the chances of forming a government anytime soon the way they're going, it's hard to imagine. However, you wouldn't be in Parliament, of course, unless you thought there was a Field Marshal's baton in your knapsack, and therefore there will be people going after her. Given the disarray, you would have to say she will need a lot of luck, and she will need moderates prepared to go hard and stop being moderate.
There is also
that division between Hastie and Taylor. There is not one strong challenger. There is the talk of two. And as long as that's dividing her internal opposition, it extends her stay in the job.
Yes, indeed. All right. Well, amid the climate caused disarray on the coalition benches, this internal fight over energy and climate policy has gone on for a long time in the coalition, hasn't it? It's gone on for
forever.
Yeah.
Forever. It's changed leaders a number of times.
Yeah. From all the way back to Malcolm Turnbull, it's just caused chaos all the way along the line. Anyway, we'll see whether Susan Lee's any better at coming up with something than anybody else has been. The government was trying to herald their own good news story on energy, and what they're dubbing the Solar Sharer Scheme will require energy retailers to offer free electricity to households for at least 3 hours in the middle of the day, when power is abundant and wholesale daytime prices are very cheap or, in some cases, even negative. The Climate Change Minister, Chris Bowen, says all Australians will benefit from the move. But you have to be on the default market offer from energy retailers in New South Wales, South East Queensland and South Australia with a smart meter to access the scheme. They are looking to extend it elsewhere, maybe by 2027. The Minister says he's hoping it'll encourage more people to use your dishwasher or washing machine in the middle of the day.
That takes pressure off the grid in the evening, which means less calling on gas and coal-fired power, which are our most expensive forms of energy, and putting downward pressure on prices for everyone.
He emphasised the element of equity, that the benefit of unused energy needs to be shared with people who don't use solar power. We are now prosumers, it seems.
We're now prosumers. We're producing and consuming at the same time, and that really gives people options. But as I said, not everyone has solar panels and a battery, so I want to open up the benefits of that democratisation to more people.
To other people.
What do you make of it, Michael? There are some critics here who say, well, yeah, but hang on, if you're on the default market offer, that may not be the best offer you could be on anyway. I mean, you might be paying more for electricity if you are on the default market offer. And others are saying, well, this will just, I mean, if energy providers are required to provide 3 hours of free juice in the middle of the day, they'll just make sure their default market offer is increased to cover it. I don't know, maybe I'm being an old cynic. Is that right?
Oh, Philip, you shock me. You an old cynic? Never. A skeptic, perhaps.
A skeptic, that's right. That's true. I'm not.
Exactly. Look, there are a couple of things about this. First of all, for a good part of the year, in the middle of the day, the energy companies are paying very little and sometimes nothing for energy, because when the sun is indeed shining and the wind is blowing, there is so much renewable energy being generated, it's free on the wholesale market. Not all the year, not in Melbourne, obviously, in winter, for a fair whack of it. So it's not terribly expensive for the energy companies. And the default offer is a matter of regulation and negotiation anyway. So there's an element of that. As for people being, I used to call it the lazy tax when people don't compare prices. Mm. That was considered too mean to people, and it should be called the loyalty tax. And I think the vast majority of us are guilty of that. Not everyone has the time and the energy, so to speak, to go and seek out the best deal and change suppliers or threaten to. So I think there will be quite a few people who will be a bit better off. And what has been hurting the government, what did the coalition try to pin on Labor in the last election, and that is energy prices. So politically, every little bit will help.
Yeah, I guess that's right. It's hard to see consumers, I think, being annoyed by it anyway.
Look, it's hard to annoy, and you've got to wonder how much, I mean, is this really going to change that many people to do their washing in the middle of the day
instead of when
they can normally do it? It's a bit hard.
I would think so. Look, to the Senate, Labor's fired back against the opposition and crossbench for a tactical move last week that led to the longest Senate question time ever. Senate question time was extended to give non-government senators five extra questions until the government hands in a report on government board appointments that independent David Pocock's been chasing for months. It was handed to Labor 2 years ago, and Senator Pocock probably rightly, insinuating that there's a whole lot of jobs for the boys, evidence in the report. Now, Labor's looking to stop senators from being able to leave the chamber during the extra long question time, you know, tit for tat, requiring all senators to attend the Senate. And they can only be excused if they've been granted leave of absence by the Senate, because Labor claims some members don't attend or instead go to the gym. Michael, it's a bit of a tit-for-tat power play in the Senate at the moment, but it's a reminder the government doesn't control the chamber.
Exactly, Philip, and that's the lesson from this. I mean, there is a very fair question to ask by David Pocock about what the hell is in this report that the government's sitting on it for 2 years and even under this pressure is refusing to give in. But this show, low rent though it is, underlines that the Senate is where people have leverage on the government. The lower house, given the landslide win Labor had, it's kind of irrelevant. You know, they get to have their theatre with question time. But beyond that, the numbers simply aren't there. Mm-hmm. But they are there in the Senate if the government can't manage the Senate. And they are not managing the Senate very well at the moment. It makes you think about how power is changing and has changed in Australia, that we had this potentially obstructionist Senate, and it has been in a number of areas. If the government can't work out a deal with either the Greens or the coalition, it becomes neutered. Mm. For all that weight in the House of Representatives, you still can't get the legislation through the Senate without doing a deal with somebody. Mm. It also continues to make me think that the independence movement, the Teals, the Voices of Movement, call it what you will, for them to have genuine leverage, to reflect their political support, they have to do what would be a contradiction in terms for them to do, and that is have some kind of a party to get into the Senate. Mm. And that's another whole tricky area to try to solve. If you're ferociously independent, if it's all about reflecting your community's views, how do you sign up to a party when they are, in effect, anti-political parties and the restraint they put on members?
Yep. All right. Look, interesting times. Michael, terrific to have you back on the program, and thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
And it was Melbourne Cup Day, of course. The politicians couldn't watch the race as they had to be in question time. Although there was some levity, Nationals MP and former leader Michael McCormack gave his traditional Melbourne Cup Day political race call in Parliament just before question time, making light of the leadership turmoil within the coalition. Here he is.
Call to the member for Riverina.
Hear, hear.
Drama before the start of the 2025 Melbourne Cup of Politics. The anti-fun Teals and the Greens are refusing to enter the barriers. Their jockeys are carrying anti-racing placards. Who would believe that? The gates crash back and the race is on. Canning has gone hard and fast. Early, maybe a bit hasty. Ballarat and Hotham are building expectations, but nothing else. McMahon charging more and more. All wind, no power. Blowing hard but no energy. His chances of winning are net zero. Why are New England, Riverina and Chifley so far back? Word is New England may soon be changing stables. Baranoa safe for now, surrounding himself with stablemates. Farah trying hard, so too Fairfax. Leadership aspirants looming thick and fast. Canning still in the picture. Hume thereabouts. Goldstein and Hindmarsh fancy themselves. Lawler, Casey and Capricornia are cracking the whip. Come on! Cheer them home! Graindler has a huge lead. Greenway laid down the law now. Corio steady. On the wrong course, though. Thought it was a golf course. Rankin wants to be leader. Little chance. Birthday boy Watson wants to be in front. No hope. Senator Thorpe burning down the outside. Question time fast approaching, and here comes the Speaker. Everyone's favourite. Can he make it back to back? Speaker. Question time. Speaker. The place is on fire. Photo finish. Speaker.
Yes. former leader of the Nats, Michael McCormack, with his traditional race call in Parliament. Interesting times for all concerned.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.